Forever and Ever. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1895. Goodbye, Mama. Goodbye, Papa. Viola wept profusely as she threw two handfuls of earth into the open grave that had been freshly dug that morning. As she let the earth fall, she felt so utterly alone that it was as if the other mourners who stood around her were not present. Viola Brookfield had only just celebrated her 21st birthday when it happened, the tragic series of events that led to both her parents being killed. They had set off one bright spring morning in their new automobile for a second honeymoon in the south of France. Viola had not wanted to be left alone in the big house in Connaught Square that was only moments away from Hyde Park. "Please do not go. I shall be lonely," she had implored them as Morton the butler supervised the loading of trunks into the new motor car. "Darling, we shall not be long. It is only a week, and then we shall return with lots of presents for you," her mother had said, kissing her daughter. "Mama, I do not care for presents. I would prefer that we were together, as a family." "We shall be once more upon our return," answered her father, whose dashing good looks still made the ladies' heads turn. Reluctantly, Viola had waved them off as the automobile sprang noisily into life and slowly inched away from the curb. Her last sight of them was as they turned the corner into Connaught Street, her mother waving furiously with the long scarf that secured her hat wound around her elegant throat, and its ends floating in the breeze like bunting at a fair. Her lovely face was alive with pleasure and expectation, while her husband concentrated on the task in hand. Looking straight ahead, his face was set in an expression of grim concentration. He had not looked back. Viola could not stop berating herself for not being more insistent that they remain in London, for that was the last time she saw either of them. The headlamps on the car were not strong enough to light their way through the dark French night, and, just outside of Nice, the automobile spun off a sharp bend and down a cliff, taking them to their deaths. She remembered the day that the policeman had come to the door, asking to see her. Morton's grave face alerted her that something terrible had happened. "There is an officer of the law to see you, Miss Viola," he had said, his voice shaking as he wrung his hands. Viola had felt as if she was about to faint, but composed herself sufficiently to walk to the morning room. The policeman had not sat down and was standing by the door, ready to make a hasty exit as soon as he had imparted his news. "Miss Brookfield," he had asked as she entered the room, "I am afraid I have some bad news for you. It is your mother and father." Viola had been forced to sit down as her legs began to turn to jelly. She barely heard the remainder of what he said, as she was only conscious of a searing pain that gripped her heart and squeezed it until she could scarcely breathe. The policeman had left, and she remained sitting in her chair for an age afterwards. Hot tears scalded her cheeks as she moaned softly to herself. Morton had not known what to do with her when he entered the room some time later, and so called for Millie, Viola's lady's maid. Millie rushed to Viola's side and helped her upstairs to her bedroom, where she remained for the rest of the day, weeping endlessly, refusing food or drink. A pall of silence fell upon the house, and so it remained, with the windows masked with heavy curtains like closed eyelids, until the day of the funeral. And now, just 3 weeks later, the Brookfields were finally being laid to rest in All Souls Cemetery in Kensal Green. As the crowd around the grave began to depart, Viola could not tear herself away. "Just a moment longer," she said to her cousin Agnes, who came up and softly took her arm. "I do not think that I can bear to say the final farewell and leave. Shall I ask for your carriage to be brought to the end of the avenue?"